Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4th of July sale and get 30% off paints and stains June 26th through July 6th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only, some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
Hello there, it's Baylen Leonard. Thanks so much for being here with us for this episode of the Country Music Talk podcast from your friends here at Absolute Radio Country. Oh, this is going to be a great one. Filled with energy, this guy. I've got one of the most exciting and creative artists in country music right now. He is definitely part of the ongoing evolution of country. Because, you know, we always say country music, it's this living, breathing art form. It's constantly evolving. And he is right in the center of that at the moment. He's collaborated with some of the biggest names in the business. Thomas Rhett, Keith Urban, Mickey Guyton, Lady A, Dierks Bentley. And that's just to name a few. I'm talking about the hugely talented Breland. And he's here right now on the Country Music Talk podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Absolute Radio Country, I'm Baylen Leonard. We've got a special guest today. Yeah. And I'm excited because we've been working on this for a while.
Yeah.
You missed a plane or something when we were originally meant to do it when you were in for C2C. But now here you are, Breland. Welcome.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Our names are a little too close.
Yes.
Breland, Baylen.
Yeah, it works for me.
We just have to make sure we know who's talking and when.
Is Breland your name?
That is my surname.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, it's my last name. My name's Daniel Breland.
So what's the Breland family like?
They're awesome. I mean, well, it depends how far out you go, right?
Like, well, how far are we going back?
Yeah. My parents and my siblings, my core group, they're awesome. Also, shout out the rest of the fam. But there's some loose screws in that bunch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there always are. But, you know, the great thing about being, you know, Southern, you drag those loose screws out on the porch. You know, you don't hide them away. Everybody embraces it.
Yeah, 100%.
Is it a big family reunion family, like once a year?
Oh, dude, we do every other year for, like, literally, like, 120 years now.
We've had,
like, a big Breland family reunion.
And is everybody bringing a covered dish?
People bring some stuff, but also, like, people, like, fly in from all over to come in for it. So it's literally, like, there's people who look entirely different, you know? Like, if you go back 100-something years and then look at all of those people's descendants, there's a lot of variability that can happen. So you'd be like, sorry, are you at the right family reunion? They're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, word. So,
they're not just sneaking in for some food or anything like that.
You never know who's going to show up.
Where does a family reunion happen? Where's your core family at?
I'm from New Jersey.
Yes.
But we've got family all over. And the location usually changes. So I don't know where it's going to be this year coming. I'm waiting on them to find an actual date for it so I can make sure I can be there.
Well, yeah, I mean, now you're so busy, they'll have to plan it around your schedule.
They definitely won't do that. But yeah, if I have to, like, zoom in because I'm out of the country or something, I'll definitely do it.
Well, listen, it's great to have you back over here. We already know that you're coming back.
Yeah.
C2C next year. So you played C2C, the last one.
Correct.
On the Spotlight stage. The reaction was crazy.
It felt positive.
It looked like you were genuinely taken aback by it. Because I suppose in that situation, coming over for the first time and all that, and in quite a big arena, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen. So how did it feel for you?
Yeah, really the only arena that I've sung in is Bridgestone in Nashville. And even then, it was
a pretty good one.
It's a good one. But even then, I was only doing a song at a time.
Right.
It was always in conjunction with, you know, Dierks and Hardy or with Mickey Guyton and Gladys Knight or with Nelly and Blanco Brown. You know, so that Spotlight stage was my first time singing in an arena by myself, you know, and doing a small set. We sang three songs. So it definitely was a new experience for me. And it was my first time playing anything in another country. So there was a lot going through my mind at that moment, and the fact that it went well and the rest of our sets out there were also a lot of fun. Anyone who came knows we turned up. So for me to be able to come back, not just this fall on the shows that we've been playing, but to be able to come back to the festival that started it all in a bigger capacity, I'm really excited.
It wasn't long after C2C, I was in Nashville for CMA Fest, and you were talking about Bridgestone Arena there. We were over at Nissan Stadium.
Yeah.
And boom, there you are again, coming out with Lady A.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't do things by half measure, do you?
You got to go all in.
What was that like? Because what's that, 50, 60,000, yeah, something crazy?
Yeah, I mean, that was a really cool opportunity. And shout out Charles and Hillary and Dave of Lady A for thinking of me and helping facilitate that. I mean, anytime you get to play for that type of a crowd, especially because they haven't sung Need You Now on TV in over a decade, and it's still one of the biggest songs in country music. To be able to go out and sing that with them in a kind of reimagined way, and then to get them on my album, on Told You I Could Drink, you know, it's that relationship is important to me, and I'm a big fan of those three.
So talking about your album, Cross Country, it's out now. You've got some songs on there with Ingrid Andress, Keith Urban, Lady A that you just mentioned, Thomas Rhett, Mickey Guyton. Mm-hmm. I mean, these collaborations, it seems like right out of the trap, you have got some really talented and powerful friends. How did some of these come about?
Honestly, I still am trying to figure it out.
Right.
Like, you know, they all have kind of developed in different ways. Mm. Ingrid and I kept bumping into each other at different events and had a mutual respect for what the other does. And eventually we're able to actually get in a studio together and hear For It, which opens my album. We thought initially would be something that could find its way onto her project. And we were kind of writing something with her in mind. And when it ended up not making it onto her project, I was like, hey, I still really love this song. And she did too. So I was like, it would make a lot of sense on mine. Let's drop it a couple keys. I'll take all the parts that you were doing. You take the part I was doing. And we kind of turned it into one of those. With Thomas, I just knew I wanted him to get on Praise the Lord. When we wrote it, I just left the second verse open and was like, we'll just wait until I eventually connect with him in some way. And it eventually made its way to him. He liked it. His family liked it. And he was like, okay, I want to get on this song. And I met him for the first time when he was recording his verse. So, you know, that was a slightly different type of collab because we didn't have a relationship before that. But the song kind of sparked the relationship.
He's going to be at C2C as well. Yeah. So do you think that's the perfect situation for a little doing that live, right?
Yeah, we've had a couple of opportunities to do it. He popped out at my show, Breland and Friends. Mm. I came out with him at Tortuga Music Festival down in Fort Lauderdale earlier this year. And obviously when we debuted the song at the ACMs, we sang it together. So we've had a few really great opportunities. We've yet to do it internationally. I feel like this would definitely be the time.
There we go. Looking forward to that. We talked about Mickey Guyton there on your album, Cross Country. And October in the UK, it's Black History Month.
Yeah.
And we talked last year during this time for a documentary that we did called Our Own Country.
Yeah.
And Darius Rucker was on it. Mickey was on it. Jimmy Allen, yourself, Yola, loads of people talking about this kind of journey and this reclaiming of your space within country music as an artist of color. I know it's been a year. Do you feel like there's been progress in that? There's still a long way to go, obviously.
I think where I'm definitely seeing a lot of progress is that I'm seeing a lot more people that look like us popping up with new music and signing deals. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking of Brittany Spencer, Raina Roberts. I love seeing the kind of renaissance of all of these brown and black people in this space. But I also think that there's a lot of work to be done, particularly around country radio, particularly around touring. You know, you just don't see a lot of these people making it onto big lineups. Mickey still doesn't have a number one hit at country radio. Still, there hasn't been a black woman with a top 20 hit at country radio, which is kind of mind-boggling because there's been so much great music made. So I do love seeing more representation, but it can't just stop with seeing more representation. You got to start seeing some things change. I even look at the CMA Awards this year. I'm the only person of color nominated for an award at the entire CMA Awards 2022. And part of that is because of the way that the windows worked out. But part of that is also based on the representation, because if they can only consider Kane, Jimmy, and Mickey, and none of them were in cycle, like, there should also be 5 to 10 other people who are in cycle for this to not have ended up being the case with me being the only one. So I do see a lot of progress, but I think there's work to be done. And
long way to go.
I'm excited to see how things continue to shift over the next few years.
And not just for artists of color. I mean, we had Shania Twain in here. She was still talking about as a woman in country music. And, and certainly kind of what it was like for her. And everybody looks to her as, and she was, this trailblazer, this glass ceiling breaker. But she said she looks at country music now and she's still so frustrated about it from a female perspective. And, you know, let alone artists of color, let alone artists that are LGBTQ. Or anything like that. So it seems like country, while working on it, it almost seems like there's two types of country.
Yeah, you're either Jason Aldean or Mara Morris.
Yeah, you're one or the other. And there's kind of, you know, you can't be one or the other.
I feel like I would love to see some more crossover between those two camps. And I just don't think that there need to be camps. We're all making similar music for similar reasons.
Yeah.
I would love to see some more dialogue between people who have differing opinions rather than like throwing subliminals in a tweet or at your show, you know? So I'm looking forward to a day in country music where we don't have to have these types of conversations. But until we get to that point, we have to have some of these conversations. There's no reason why on back-to-back nights, I could go to the Kacey Musgraves Justified star-crossed movie release and then go to the Morgan Wallen benefit concert the next night and see so many people from country music at either of those events, but I was the only person that was at both.
Right.
And I'm like, that shouldn't happen. These are two massive events happening in town one night after the other, and people should be able to go to both. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's a deep discussion. But you've had a huge amount of support for some really great people. So you've been out with Russell Dickerson.
Yeah.
He's an animal.
Yeah.
He's so much fun.
He's a lot of fun, man. It's sometimes hard for us to open for people because we bring so much energy to the stage and the style of music that we make. Like, it probably wouldn't make a whole lot of sense for us to come out doing what we do and then like Kip Moore comes out, you know? Like, I don't know if that would necessarily, though I would love to open for Kip Moore, but you know, just in terms of the style of music that we make, Russell and me are somewhat similar with his approach. So I think when people come to a Russell Dickerson concert where we're supporting, the energy is just like consistently getting turned up the whole night.
Yeah, and by the end of the roof is in trouble.
Yeah, the roof is in trouble, man. We got to bring the firefighters on standby.
Although he definitely takes his shirt off more than you do.
Yeah, you know, I'm working on it. I can't get it past my belly button, man.
I bet he'd help you. He'll give you some pointers on how to do that. So all of these people have been quite supportive of you. You're now in a position to kind of start doing that for other people, you know? So you mentioned some artists earlier that you're listening to, but is that kind of part of your process as well, these artists that are now coming up underneath you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always just keeping my eyes and ears to whatever sounds great.
Yeah.
And
whether that's country or not, right?
Whether it's country or not, you know, there are new artists popping up every day and a lot of really talented people putting songs up on the internet where I'm like, oh, wow, this is really good. This is really good. Or people will send me clips. I look at someone like Chapel Heart Band.
Oh, come on, Chapel Heart. You know,
I ran into them at the CMT Awards earlier this year and I didn't know who they were. I hadn't heard any of their music, but I just liked their vibe, you know? And I was like, yo, like, what's up? And they're like, yo, huge fans, whatever. And we chopped it up. I was like, yo, we got to get in and write at some point. And then, you know, next time I see them, they're getting the golden buzzer on America's Got Talent. And I was like, okay, well, this
is working.
You know, I'm like, I love to see those types of stories, whether I got to play a part in it or not. But if I ever get to play a part in it, I'd love to use my platform to put more people on. And I hop on a lot of music. You know, I hopped on a song with an artist named Tierra a year and a half ago. And then fast forward a year, she signed a deal. She's taking a song to country radio. And, you know, I love what she's doing. But I got on that song with her, even though she was independent, because it's just a great song.
It's great to hear that, because some of the artists that we respect the most, and the ones that just continually surprise with A, the amount of output, but also the different styles that they work with, Darius Rucker, Keith yep. Urban, and both of them have been on the show and talked about that they still listen to music, you know, like yeah. you, they're still excited by new music. And yeah. Darius in Chapel Heart, you know, he just heard them and reached out and said, hey, do you want to be on this song with
yeah.
me? And so that, I guess that kind of hunger and interest in finding exciting music, you know, that's something you either have or you don't, I think.
Yeah, you got to have a curious mind. The way that Keith put it, he calls it beginner's mind. Which is that it doesn't matter how much you accomplish, you have to continue to approach everything from the perspective of a beginner, an amateur, a novice. The way that you started when you first got into it, you have to keep that same hunger and that same energy. And, you know, I think both he and Darius and a lot of the OGs at this point in country music, you can either check out or you can really tap in. And yeah. I'm seeing that starting to happen. And just from some of the more established artists that have been in this for a minute, like Garth, he just reached out and had kind of heard my name pop up a few times and was like, hey, come to my house. I want to talk to you.
So you went over to his house?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, please tell me that Trisha baked you a pie.
She wasn't there. I was man, where's she at? But, you know, we had a great conversation and have had great conversations since. And it was just cool to see that someone in his position who's literally able to travel around the world and sell out these huge venues is paying attention to what new artists are doing.
Yeah, because he certainly doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to.
And there are lots of artists that don't.
Right.
And yeah, that's fine too.
You know, also in a lot of ways, this is the house that he and all of the other people that we mentioned have built.
Yeah.
And I think it's somewhat the responsibility of those people if they really care about themselves and their legacy in country music, it would make sense that they would want to help usher in the next group of artists to make sure that that legacy stays intact. I look at a song like Hardy had that song, Here Lies Country Music, that he just put out. At the end of it, he like wakes up and it was all just a dream. But in those first couple verses before that reveal, and I hope I'm not spoiling this for anyone who hasn't heard the song.
Spoiler alert.
But the song talks about like the death of country music and ultimately how he hopes he never sees that day. But in order for that to happen, it takes all of us not only healing those divides that we talked about, but also continuing to see more diversity, which will bring in new audiences and ensure that this is a viable space moving forward.
Yeah, because it would be easy for somebody like Garth to just, you know, relax in his gold jacuzzi in the back of his gold Cadillac and, right. you know, parked out front of his solid gold house and never do anything about that. But thank goodness there are people like Garth and
of
Keith.
Of course.
All the rest who don't. You talked about Keith saying beginner's mind. Let's talk about the beginning for you.
Yeah.
So the beginning that we knew about, and obviously you lived a whole life before this, but,
yeah, yeah.
but My Truck. Was that a TikTok thing?
I didn't make it for TikTok.
Right.
I just also put it on TikTok.
Right, but that's, is that what kind of made it?
Yeah, like what was kind of crazy is this was 2019, so it was yeah. before the big TikTok boom.
Right.
I didn't have a TikTok account. I put the song out independently with like an online distribution site, and they had a bunch of different places that you could put the song up. So I was like, okay, I'll put it on, you know, all the different streaming sites. And then TikTok was another box. And I was like, I don't really know anything about TikTok, but I knew that a couple songs had popped off on there. So
right.
I just clicked it. And then a couple months later, the song started getting a bunch of views. And I checked the YouTube video and a bunch of people were like, here from TikTok. And I was like, what? So I literally downloaded TikTok and went on the app and was like, how does this work?
Yeah.
First off, and then what's actually going on? And I saw that every couple minutes there were more videos being made to it and that there was a trend that was forming. And a week after I realized that, a bunch of different record labels realized that, and I started taking meetings with people as an artist, and I hadn't previously even really considered myself to be one. I was just writing songs for people. So, I mean, I definitely credit that algorithm for creating a moment that has turned into a whole career for me. But also at the same time, I'm not a TikTok artist.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
I'm an artist that has music on TikTok, which at this point every artist does. And TikTok was a large part of the discovery of some of my early songs.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when we first heard My Truck and played it on the show. And, you know, it was so different than everything else. Because one of the things that we always want to do, one of the things I try and do is show all the different sides of country music.
Yeah.
And and everything that's kind of under that big old umbrella of country. When you made My Truck, and when you were just kind of making music for other people and you were starting out, presumably you were kind of fingers in lots of different pies, you know.
Yeah.
You weren't necessarily focused right in on country, or were
Correct.
You?
Correct. Yeah, I was. I mean, I was listening to more and more country music,
right,
because I knew at some point, I've always had this idea of like wanting to have a number one song across like 7 or 8 different genres.
Okay.
And I just wanted to be able to put my best foot forward with everything I was writing, regardless of whether it was R&B or hip hop or pop or country. I just love music. And the songwriting in country, I really appreciated, because they're telling these stories in such a direct way, but it's poetic, but it's thoughtful, and every word and syllable falls really cleanly into the structure. Whereas, you know, a lot of hip hop nowadays is not even on beat. It's like in style to be like ahead of the beat intentionally, or like way behind the beat, and sometimes not rhyme at all, and to like say kind of stream of consciousness melodic. And writing that way in Atlanta was fun for a while, but I'm also a songwriter. I need to be able to write songs, not just kind of spitball ideas. So I was listening to more and more country and seeing ways that I could apply some of those principles on the songwriting side to everything else that I was doing, and then ended up all the way in. But even still, the type of country music that I make currently, I call it cross country, because it is a fusion of all the different genres that I like. And some people would say, hey man, this isn't country music to me, and I would say I welcome that discourse. This is art. Art is meant to be debated, and you can have your own opinions of it. That's what makes it so dope.
Oh, but you know, they said Johnny Cash wasn't country. When
right,
he,
they
know,
said Garth wasn't country.
Yeah,
they said,
I mean,
Shania wasn't country.
They said Patsy Cline wasn't country.
Country,
said, you know.
I'm like, look, all I know is that when people say something isn't country, it's probably going to work, and it's probably going to end up being considered very country in the future.
Absolutely Radio Country. I'm Baylen Leonard. Our guest today is Breelan. So we know you're coming back.
Yeah.
In March.
I'm going to be back here a lot.
Yeah.
Let's just,
so it feels like, you know, it feels like
it out
we
here.
Get you get us.
Yeah.
It feels like a
like,
good relationship.
I've been kind of like jokingly saying like, oh, like I'm going to get a flat out here, like whatever. But like it's less of a joke every time I say it. It started out here like, oh, I'm definitely going to move out here. And now I'm like, do I need to actually move out here? Like, I love watching country music grow and develop. And, you know, a lot of the people who are listening to country music out here, some of them grew up on it, but some of them are just discovering it for the first time. For me, as someone from New Jersey, a lot of times in the States, people will be like, well, you're from Jersey, so how can you be in country music, right? And then I come out here, no one cares about that.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I like this song, or I don't, you know? And it's refreshing to see this growing market and the types of perspectives that they have and the type of music that they resonate with.
And it feels like you've been here enough now that you have your favorite spots, you know?
Yeah.
You know your way around a little bit in different cities and
I
that.
I can navigate the tube. You might see me, you know, on the Piccadilly line.
Okay, good. Nice. Look out for Breelan on the Piccadilly line. Also, look out for Breelan doing a takeover show this weekend here on Absolute Radio Country. It's your very own show, which
yeah.
we're very much looking forward to. You can still listen to the documentary Our Own Country. It's on the free Absolute Radio app. You're going to be back in March for C2C.
And many times after that.
And of course, the album Cross Country is out now. Breelan, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks. Great talking with you.
The Country Music Talk podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
So brilliant to have Breelan on the Country Music Talk podcast. He really is making such a huge impact in the world of country music, and I can't wait to see him back at C2C. In 2023. Now, if you want to hear more from my conversations with the biggest stars in country music, if you aren't already subscribed, please subscribe to the Country Music Talk podcast and you'll never miss an episode. And don't forget, we're here all the time in the UK. Just tell your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country and you won't be disappointed. Have a great day, and I'll look forward to seeing you next time. And remember, keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.